Think how vital communication is in any military operation. Command and control. Right? Commanders must be able to communicate with the troops. Troops must be able to communicate back. It is vital that the channels of communication stay open. Need the things like calling in air support, calling in artillery. One way to defeat an enemy is to interrupt their communication or to tune into it. I know that was true in the Battle of Midway, World War II. That battle was won because we intercepted the Japanese communications and were able to interpret them and know what their next moves were going to be. But communication is vital in that area, even more vital between you and the commander of the hosts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, your communication with God, and that's what prayer is vital to your spiritual health. Just like, think about physical health and breathing. How long would you live without breath? It's fundamental. It's vital. Right? To your physical life. And then prayer, think it's the breathing of the inner man or the spirit. It's just as vital that we have to breathe to be able to do anything. And so prayer sort of infuses and overarches all of the rest of the armor that we've talked about. That to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, to see Christ as our truth and our righteousness and our peace, and to seek to walk in His truth and righteousness and peace, and to walk by faith and not by sight, and in assurance and with His Word, His gospel being our helmet, victory through His Word. I mean, every element of that has to be empowered by the Spirit, and that is done through prayer. So we're looking at all prayer and doing it a little differently this morning. I just want to highlight that we stand firm in faith, which some of you haven't been here. The main command that's been repeated in the section is there in verse 14. Therefore, stand firm in the faith by putting on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, taking up the shield of faith, putting on the helmet of salvation, taking the sword, and now through prayer. So stand firm in faith by praying in or by the Spirit. And I just want to highlight four aspects of praying in the Spirit or by the Spirit, and then maybe give a definition at the end and see a little bit of application of that. A lot going on today, so I'm trying to be efficient. But just four aspects of praying in the Spirit taken from this text, right? In verse 18, right after the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. And that can sound a little, and we're going to see some more of this as we look, but praying in the Spirit can sound a little mysterious, right? It can sound a little like, I'm not really sure what that's talking about. It's like talking about walking in the Spirit or life in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. And anytime you wonder what that looks like, you know the simple thing to do? Go read the Gospels. Look at Jesus. He perfectly walked in the Spirit, prayed in the Spirit, was led by the Spirit. But it's just praying in the power of and under the direction of, through the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that is at work in us, the one who prompts us to pray, guides our prayers, transforms our prayers, and all. And so praying in the Spirit is just depending on the Spirit, and through the Word we know His, growingly His will, and seeking to pray in line with that. But we'll see more about that in a little bit. But the word here for prayer, when it says all prayer or praying at all times, and then it says with prayer and supplication, that word just simply means to speak to God, to ask for help, to bring your request to God, speaking to Him. And then that word supplication means to ask with urgency, to plead or to beg. To plead with God, to bring our requests to Him. And wow, what a great book to read to see that done is the Psalms. I mean, you read the Gospels, yes, see Jesus pray. That's praying in the Spirit. Go back and read and look at David's prayers and the prayers in the Psalms. That would be praying in the Spirit. Not mysterious. It's not something that we can't achieve. But the first element of praying in the Spirit, first I want to highlight, is praying urgently for specific things. Because he says right there, praying at all times with all prayer. Prayer infuses all. Prayer is our breath. Prayer is our life, our connection, our communication with God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So it's urgent that we take our request to God. And you know, it's serious. It's a serious thing to be in trouble, to be have needs, and to be able to go before the throne of grace, which it is for us if we say we're His children, and to bring our request there and lean and trust Him. Know that He will act. But praying specifically, that's one of the things you'll see as you read prayers in Scripture, that those prayers are specific. Specific requests. If you go, I mean, I love to go read John 17 and Jesus' high priestly prayer and know that He's praying for me and us together, all of His people as He prayed that. But there are a lot of specifics in there. I mean, when we teach our children, we raise up our children, we say, and they pray like, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless Aunt Uncle Joe and Aunt Susie, and thank you for the puppy, and, you know, but sometimes we don't grow out of that. I've been in prayer meetings where people will say, God bless the missionaries, and move on. It's like, wait, how? What? What are you asking for? You know, a little more depth there, a little more specifics. You know, praying with specifics to God. God, see, this is what we don't believe. God delights for His children to come before Him in prayer, to bring our requests to Him in prayer, to cast ourselves on Him in prayer. He invites us to do that. Indeed, He commands us to do that. And He does it for our good because He loves us and He sings over us and He delights in us. And in that communion. See, we treat prayer like this legalistic ladder that we have to climb, instead of just this loving communication between us and our Heavenly Father who loves us so. We look at the cross, we see the amount, the depth of that love. And He wants us to bring specific requests to Him. Why? Just a few reasons. I mean, specific requests help us see that we're praying according to the Word and will of God, right? And then help others see that. And when we pray with specifics, it helps us to see the answer. I mean, if all I ever prayed is, God bless Grace Church. Well, He's doing that. But man, when you're praying for a certain person, for a certain thing, and you see God do that, wow. Thanksgiving. It helps us recognize and thank Him for His answers. It blesses others to know that we understand their needs when we're praying with Him for them, and we understand, we've heard what they said. We're praying some of the things that they've told us that they struggle with. Read biblical prayers, very specific. Provision, deliverance, help. And you see God answer. And in this context, specifically praying about the spiritual warfare that we find ourselves in on a daily basis. The struggle to walk in truth and in righteousness and peace and by faith and assurance and victory through the Word. To be praying that for ourselves and our families and for one another. Very specific prayers. So the first thing I want you to see in the words that are used here when we're talking about prayer and we're talking about supplication is that we're urgently bringing specifics before God. And all the while, we're trusting the Spirit to transform those prayers to line up with the will of God. Romans chapter 8. So firstly, praying in the Spirit is praying for specific things. Right? Secondly, praying in the Spirit, the second part of verse, is not giving up. Praying without ceasing, being persistent, not giving up. There are way more scriptures than I could go to this morning. But look at it right there in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Now look at this. To that end, and especially right here in the context of spiritual warfare, but then broadly, the things that we need, right? He leads us to pray. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Making supplication for all the saints. All perseverance. What is it? When we persevere through something, it means we don't stop. We don't quit. We keep going. We keep going in it. We're not allowed, we don't derail. And Jesus even taught a parable, you know, about not giving up in Luke 18. I'm not going to read that one this morning for time's sake. But he said he taught the parable so that they would pray and not give up. And it's the persistent widow with the unjust judge. And she just keeps nagging him until he gives her what she wants so she'll go away. And he says, if that's how the unjust judge acts, how much more will your heavenly Father who loves you give justice to his elect? God's love, argument from the lesser to the greater. But it's persistent prayer. One of the pictures, and I don't even know what they look like, but just in my mind, thinking about Jacob wrestling with the angel of God. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I mean, he come out with a hip out of socket. I will not let you go till you bless me. Jesus is encouraging us to pray without failing, to pray without giving up. And when he says ask and he will receive, it's ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Be persistent. Keep it in prayer. I know I prayed for the salvation of my brother for years, and I got to tell you, it wasn't because of the amount of my faith, because I didn't have any faith that he was going to be converted. And it was pretty close to his deathbed when I believe he was. Just don't give up. Trust it to Him. Keep praying. Don't look at whether or not, according to circumstances and the way we see things, it can ever work out. Take hold of God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, and look, the gospel enables us to do this, to constantly walk in an attitude and a spirit of rejoicing because of who Christ is and He's dealt with our sin, who He is for us. But look at this, this is not unreasonable. This don't mean we always walk around singing out loud, okay, or anything like that. But it's this constant rejoicing in our hearts because of God's grace. But rejoice always. Pray every once in a while, without ceasing, walking in an attitude of prayer. Notice that that would eliminate having to go through some long formula before you can ask God of anything. You read Nehemiah and places like that where he just short, quick prayer. God have mercy, help me. You know, pray without ceasing, constant communion with your God, giving thanks for everything. We struggle with that, right? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is, we're not told that very much, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Constant thankfulness, constant prayer, constant rejoicing, eyes on Jesus, all hope in His grace. Romans 12:12 says similar things. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction, and be persistent or constant in prayer. We struggle with that second part, don't we? Because we struggle with the first part, and then therefore we don't talk. Constant in prayer. See, if we're praying in the Spirit, we're going to be bringing specifics before God urgently, right? It's not just, oh well, God, please bless me. You know, I mean, we loving communion with our Father, specific details in which we never give up praying. There's enough, believe me, there's enough to pray about even in your own life to keep you busy the rest of your life. Right? My life. Don't stop praying for me, please. So it's praying in the Spirit is praying specific things without giving up and in, look at this third element, in community. Even when you're alone, you're praying in community. Making, look what it says here. Making supplication. This is that word supplication, urgent requests, right? Pleading for others. Making supplication for all the saints. Supplication for all the saints. Hi. All the saints. Urgent pleas for others. Praying in the Spirit is more than, and I'm not saying don't do this, it's more than just praying for ourselves and praying for our family. But it's for all the saints. It's for all the church. It's for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Praying in the Spirit is praying in community, bringing your brothers and sisters into your heart and into your prayers. Lifting up their needs and their struggles and their joys. Praying against, now here the context, spiritual warfare. Praying against the evil one for them. And not just in Grace Church, but the other churches and the body wide. Praying for other brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's one thing that impresses me about Paul so much in his writings is that he says, go mark the amount of times that he says, I never stop praying this for you. I never stop praying this for you. Never, ever do I stop praying. And then if you mark all those times and you see all the things he's praying, you'll go away going, wow, that's a significant portion of your day and your time. But it doesn't mean he had to be sitting still somewhere to be praying that. He could have been making tents and praying, right? And I started to say driving down the road, but buggy, horse, whatever. You know, all throughout the day. And if we look at it like that, then as we're going through the day, we can be praying, praise, rejoice, worship for others. You know, and you don't have to be weird about it. But it's others-focused prayer, alone and also in community. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And then the fourth thing I want to highlight is, and I sort of boiled this one down, right? But I think this is what Paul's praying. He's praying it for himself, and then we extrapolate from that, that we want this to be true in all of our lives and in the church as the gospel goes forth. But fourthly, praying in the Spirit is praying for gospel advance because we live in enemy territory. So look at it right here. Paul says that after talking about making supplication for all the saints, he says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly for the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. I'm amazed that I look when I think about in how much ministry Paul did from a jail cell. How much scripture he wrote from a jail cell and how much ministry and encouragement. And I mean, guards are getting saved. Caesar's household. He didn't think something was weird or wrong because he was in prison for the gospel. Ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Praying for the gospel to go forth, for his messengers to be bold, which includes all of us. And that, you know, like you can apply it to pastors in your churches. You know, don't stop praying for me. Pray for me to be bold and faithful and accurate in preaching the gospel. Pray for yourself to have opportunities and then to be faithful to those opportunities. With just talking about Christ. Listen, we don't have any excuses. And I know prayer and evangelism are two things that can shut down a room in the church. But it shouldn't be that way if we're focused on God's grace. And I'll tell you one story. There's a gentleman I know that I see at the gym that I've been talking to, and we've been talking about Scripture and Bible, and he reads the Bible. And he doesn't know very much, right? So he doesn't have the Bible all down. But he was telling me the other day about how he went to work for this one guy. And this guy, he said he was just like me. He's anxious and scared and nervous. And he said, I just looked at him and I said, you need Jesus. And said, he broke down crying. And they got into this discussion. Now, the guy who was with, he don't know much, but he shared what he knew. And God used it. So pray for those kind of opportunities and pray for pastors and others. Pray for the church. Pray for Grace Church as we evangelism team and seeking to get out there with the gospel. Pray for gospel advance, like Paul, boldness. You know, the apostles in Acts 4 who were arrested and threatened and released and went and prayed with the church and they prayed for boldness and God gave them boldness. And the gospel kept going forward. That's in Acts 4 if you want to go read it. So praying in the Spirit, praying the way we're being called to prayer is praying specifically with urgency and not giving up, praying in community, praying for gospel advance in the midst of the darkness in which we live and the spiritual warfare that we daily are engaged in and fight. So just boiling up that sort of those four things, a definition. Praying in the Spirit. Now listen to me. You want to know what this is? Praying in the Spirit is praying to God in community for specific things through dependence on the Holy Spirit, who prompts us to pray, empowers us to pray, and transforms what we pray so that it lines up with the will of God. And you can see Romans 8:26 and 1 John 5:14 if you're taking notes. You know, that's another thing I encourage you to do is take notes. Even if you throw them away when you leave, you'll remember more. If you've gone through the act of writing just some things down. If you've been to school, you know you can't write everything down unless you know shorthand and all that. But the things you jot down, you're going to remember, even if you throw the notes in the trash. So be a note taker if you can. But praying in the Spirit is praying to God in community, even when you're alone. Pray for more than yourself. So that's what I'm talking about. And then in community. But for specific things through dependence on the Holy Spirit, who prompts us to pray, empowers us to pray, and transforms what we pray so that it lines up with the will of God. Now I want you to look at me and listen to me closely. And it is praying in tongues. If you're English, you pray in English tongues. If you're French, you pray in French tongues. If you're Spanish, you pray in Spanish tongues. Now you pray with the understanding. I'm sorry, I'm playing joke on you, waking you up. Okay? It's praying with the spirit and the mind. Again, praying in the spirit. Warfare praying. Praying that realizes where we live and realizes the enemies we have and realizes the resources that God has given us in His truth, in His righteousness, in His peace through the gospel, giving us faith and assurance and victory through His Word. Praying through and all of those things and for one another as we walk through, you may not see it this way, but this present darkness, this world that's in rebellion against God. Praying specifically, urgently, in community, and for gospel advance. Now that's not an exhaustive list of things that we can pray for, but just sort of highlighting from this text. So pray like Jesus is another way to say it. Certainly Jesus prayed in the Spirit, right? Certainly Jesus perfectly. Jesus walked in the Spirit. Jesus prayed in the Spirit. Jesus had, He was living as a man in the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling and fixing what the first Adam had broken, fulfilling all righteousness, dying to pay the penalty of our sins, raising from the grave. But certainly Jesus did all of these things and He taught us how to do it. Do we make these things mysterious? Right? But He taught us how to pray, and certainly He was teaching us how to pray in the Spirit, right? And it's amazing how much what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's really the prayer He gave to His disciples. His intercessory prayer is John 17. But our Father who art in heaven, you're familiar with that prayer. In Matthew 6, 9 to 13, I want to look at this really quickly and just point out some things to you. But Matthew 6, 9 to 13, long version. You might wonder, why does the ESV not have, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever" at the end? It's in the footnote. But the reason it's not in the body is because it's not in the oldest manuscripts. But I'm stuck with it. It's just part of my memorization. So, and it's a great thing to pray. But that's why, why am I going here? King James and Bibles like that are based on the majority of manuscripts. ESV and others are based on the oldest, primarily the oldest manuscripts. So that's why you see a little bit of difference. But nobody's trying to take the Word of God out, and it's all trying to get back to the original and all of that. That's for another day. But anyway, Matthew 6, 9 to 13 says this. Jesus then, in answer to His disciples who had been walking with Him for a while, saying, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Now He says, pray then like this. This is not meant to be the words that you parrot every time you pray and this is all you pray. This guides us and teaches us how to pray. And it's okay to pray this prayer. And you should from time to time pray this prayer with your mind, knowing, what you're praying, not just rote praying. But He says, pray like this. Look at this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, Jesus perfectly walked in the Spirit. He perfectly prayed in the Spirit. He perfectly loved and honored the Father, which is what we're called to love and honor God. And He taught us how to pray to do that. So notice this prayer is first and foremost, it's God-focused and humble. Your kingdom come. Your name be hallowed. May You be glorified. And may Your will be done on earth and by implication in my life. May your will be done. That is a prayer of faith. That is a prayer in the Spirit. Not my will, but yours be done. He prayed it right before the cross. Faith-filled prayer, submissive, humble prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will, your glory. So he prayed, he taught us to pray, first and foremost, for God, be focused on God and praying for His glory and for the full application of redemption so that this world someday, as it will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, that all tribes and tongues and peoples and languages worshiping and praising Him, new heavens, new earth. But first and foremost, prayer in the Spirit is God-focused and humble, right? And then specifics are prayed. Look at this. He taught us to pray for specifics, like our daily bread, like forgiveness, like leading, like protection. There are specifics in that prayer. And so it's modeling for us praying meaty specifics for one another. This is something that stuck out to me fresh and anew this time studying it. This is community prayer. Look at this. Give us, not me, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us. See how that prayer encompasses more than just one person there? Bless us, protect us, lead us, feed us, guide us, help us. Even when we're alone, praying community prayers in that our prayers are about more than just ourselves, and primarily, probably, not about ourselves first. God first, others. Yeah. Right? Deny yourself, take up your cross. That whole Christian gospel thing. And then, is gospel advance in this prayer? Yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your glory, yours is the kingdom, power, glory. Lord, do your work here. Root out sin and rebellion. Establish peace and righteousness. Build your kingdom here in this world, in my friends and brothers and sisters' lives, in my life. May we be humble and dependent and focused on your glory and praying in community and seeking to honor you. So praying in the Spirit we see in the Lord's Prayer. And it's also praying in the Gospel. This is just a couple of things I want to challenge you with. First, we see Jesus teaching us to pray in the Spirit. Secondly, we see that it's praying in the Gospel. And I hope you know what I mean by that. I'm going to try to explain that to you a little bit. Gospel prayer, or prayer in the Gospel, prayer in Christ, just it's really prayer of the Christian, the one who's trusting in God through Christ by grace. It's not just words, or it shouldn't be just words and lists and routine. You know, if you can get up in the morning and pray your prayers like you pray every day and not hardly even think about it, stop that, reorient, get the heart on God, and just sort of retool that. Because I know I've fallen into those ruts, where I could get up and go through my routine and be thinking about something else. That's just a warning light on the dash for you to say, wait a minute. Vain repetition. Stop. I'm sorry. Help. Help me to pray. But prayer, gospel prayer, is a loving relationship. It is not a performance to be judged. It's a relationship to be engaged. It's trust. It's the means, one of the means of grace through which God works in your life. So it should be motivated by love. God's love for us first. He loved us first. He set His love on us in eternity past. He sent His Son to die for our sins before any of the people I'm speaking to were ever even alive. Jesus dealt with your sins on the cross before you even breathed. Brought you to faith. God brought you to faith in His Son so that redemption purchased by Christ could be applied to you by the Spirit applying the gospel. So, true prayer should be motivated by God's love first, and it's based on Jesus. It should be confident. I mean, we can come before the throne of grace confidently if we keep our eyes fixed on Christ and the cross. That cross shows that He's in it for my good. That cross shows that He's sacrificing for me, for my good. That I'm forgiven, I'm His child, that His throne for me, I have open access as His child to His lap on His throne of grace. It should be persistent because He never gives up on me. He never gives up, so we shouldn't give up. He's always for us and not against us. It should be humble because I know I am needy. And you know what? He knows my needs before I pray Him. So for me to get what He wants me to have is not for me to get serious enough about it and enough people praying for it so I can talk Him into it. It's about me lining up with His will and humble submission. Praying for my needs, yes. But Your will be done. So it's humble prayer. It's powerful prayer. Did you know that your prayer is powerful? Why? Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. God has chosen to work through means, and one of the means He works through is your prayers. Even your stammering, stumbling, imperfect prayers that are not in the format that books tell you they have to be. You had to do this first, and then this, and then this, and then you can ask Him for something. Hogwash. Trusting in Jesus, you're forgiven, you're His child. Go before Him with your heart. But it's powerful. The fervent prayers of a righteous person, righteous being in Christ, and they're seeking to walk in that, right, accomplish much. Elijah, James says in chapter 5, who was a man with a nature just like ours, prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. Why? Because God was in it, working through it, and God's the one that stopped it raining and brought the rain back at the right time. But your prayers are powerful, and He's going to work through them to change you and accomplish His purpose. Jesus loves you. God loves you. If you're trusting in Jesus, you're trusting in Jesus because of His grace. He loves you. He's your Father. Run to Him with persistent, specific, community, powerful prayers. See, it's more, prayer should be more than just like, okay, I get up and God, I'm going to give You this 10 minutes and then, whoo, I'm off with my day. Right? It's more than just pausing to ask for what we want. Husbands, and if you're not married yet, learn the lesson now. Husbands or wives, what if you only talk to your spouse when you want something? How fine of a relationship is that going to be? Well, in case you're not married or newly married and think it might work, I've almost been married 30 years, and let me tell you, it does not work. And that's not, I mean, you don't love somebody if the only time you ever talk to them is when you need something. They're just your genie or your wish granter. But you don't love them. If all we're ever praying is foxhole prayers when we're in trouble, we need to examine the state of our soul to see if we know God, if we really love Jesus and are trusting in Him. Because if we only speak to God when we need something, now it's good, you heard me. You need to take your needs before God. But notice Jesus rejoicing in the Father and His will and just that intimate relationship. I think sometimes what runs us away from prayer, and I know it is legalism. You got to pray this much and you got to, I mean, before you even leave the house, and you got to do it exactly this way, and if you just say it right and get enough people praying it right, then you can have it. And we just get so flustered, we don't know what to say. And then in community when we're praying, we don't say this, but we think others are judging us by what we pray. And therefore we keep quiet. Now we're just talking to our Father together and asking Him for things. Hopefully things that we believe are in line with His will. And so grace should set us free to be able to pray together. You know, and to be able to share our hearts together. Not everything. Don't tell everything about your life to everybody. That's dumb. Have some people you can do that with. But be able to pray together and pray in line with God's will and according to the war that we're in. Our soul should just be feeding on fellowship with God through His Word and prayer. Through Christ. Not just when we need something. And the better we get the gospel and the more saturated we are with the gospel and grace, the more that relationship flowers and is real. with our Heavenly Father. Lord, forgive me for treating you like a genie or some sort of wish granter or somebody that's too busy for me or just throwing these routine words at you. Help me to love you and desire you and glory in you and honor you and want to spend every moment of every day under the shadow of your wings and in prayer. Remember, prayer is the breath of the soul. What a privilege to be able to speak to the Lord of heaven and earth who is your Father, knowing that He loves you and is working in you and through you as you pray to accomplish His purpose. That's amazing. That's amazing He would even hear from me. Try calling the White House, see if you can get through. No matter who's in there. But God, your Father, come to me, ask of me, fellowship with me. Jesus loves you, cross proves it. God loves you, cross proves it. Works to bless you, does it through prayer, changing you. And I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to go home and examine our prayer life. Is it just religious routine? Is it just legalism? Is it just me hollering when something ain't going right? Or am I walking in loving relationship with my God who loves me so? And am I walking in community with my brothers and sisters in this vital communication with my Heavenly Father? I want to end with a challenge. And I want to point out a weakness of us. And I don't know how much you're praying at home. And what, I'm not judging you, and I'm my own faults are big enough for me to have to deal with. So you and you, between you and God on your life and prayer and whether you're praying in community and all these things we've talked about. But Grace Church has a weakness when it comes to community prayer. And every church is the same way, and I don't know why. But if we call for a night of everybody together in prayer, we don't get very many. And we need to be together, praying together. Now, I know in grace groups we're praying, and in our families we're praying, in our homes we're praying. But reading this week in Acts about the church, the fledgling church, 120 people together in one room praying when Pentecost, you know, happens. And I think, you know, we need to do that more. We need to pray together as a body more, and we need to sacrifice to be able. And I know you can't always make it. I mean, sometimes I'm guilty of saying, hey, tomorrow night we're going to gather for prayer. It's like, how about a couple of weeks' notice? I get that. You know, it's on me a lot. I can be jack out of the box sometimes. But just think about that. Pray about that. And we'll try to give you plenty of heads up notice when we do that. But I mean, we got big, just as a church, we're trying to penetrate the darkness with the gospel in this place. There's a war against that. We have an enemy against that. You know, our lease is up in September. We just want to do what God wants us to do, but He's going to reveal that through prayer. So individually at home, we pray, but we need to gather and pray and be serious about it. And listen to me. When we do gather for prayer, nobody's judging you by what you say. It's not a performance for approval. It's just us crying out to our Heavenly Father. So there's not a right and wrong way to do that. There's doing it and not doing it. I mean, we want to pray in a way that glorifies God, and we want to pray according to His will. We know that through His Word. We want to pray together. But listen, the first principle of us having a strong corporate prayer life is just simply a gospel principle. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. It's not always going to be convenient. It's not always going to be easy. It might mess up your kid's schedule every once in a while. Y'all hear me, kids? But deny yourself. If you're intimidated to pray in public, deny yourself. It scared me to death the first time. Brad Bigney, I still see his face. I was a brand new Christian, and he tricked me. He got me to agree to take up the offering. He never said one thing about prayer. And then we're standing up there before the offering. He says, "Jeff Duncan, pray." I almost fell down. I'm not lying. I'm an introvert by nature. God has a sense of humor making introverts preachers. But you know what? I made it through it. And that sort of broke the ice on things like that. If you're tired, deny yourself. And Thomas Watson said, "There are many times when I go into prayer that I'm cold as a stone. But as I'm praying and my heart warms to God and things change." If you're tired, deny yourself. Come. Something better to do? There's nothing better to do. There's nothing better to do. I already said introvert. If you're an introvert, deny yourself. It's okay to know your nature, but don't be identified. Don't let it rule you. If your favorite show is on, deny your show and them people and yourself. Too much hassle. I get this. Kids make it hard sometimes, don't they? And their routines. We pay a price for disrupting their routines sometimes, don't we? But sometimes it's right to do that. And to teach your kids from a very early age that everything doesn't revolve around them. But it revolves around Jesus. So sometimes we make sacrifices that are inconvenient. Deny yourself. Listen, we have huge things to pray for. We need to do it in our homes individually and for one another. But we need to do it in community. And we'll be giving you opportunities to do that. How about this? Fasting and prayer. He said, when you fast. We sort of treat that one like it's just about not being on Facebook. It's primarily about you not eating. And spending that time before God. You don't earn anything from God by fasting. But there's a means of grace there that He works through to focus you and to bless you as you pray. But I will tell you this, and you read the Bible from cover to cover, and you will see God motivating His people to fast and pray and working powerfully through it. Praying for gospel advance, the mission, that's number one, boldness. For the building fund and pray for the sicknesses that are going around right now. Colds, and that's one reason we're not running over today. Now, I can think of three families right now that flu and stuff's going through their houses. Pray for that. But see, again, we get to speak directly to the Lord of heaven and earth who is our Father. And that should be a joy. I understand the spiritual warfare against it, the world, flesh, and the devil. I get that. But as we look at Jesus and see His delight in the Father and His model of prayer and His walk of discipleship and fellowship and His model of prayer, which filtered into His apostles, which filtered into the early church. Let me end this section and really end pretty much the sermon. Just pointing you again to Acts 2:42. We always say we want to be like the early church. Well, the early church was filled with problems too. Okay? But on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and 3,000 were saved, and that's true, revival, right? In Acts 2:42, notice what they were devoted to. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and here we go, and to the prayers. They devoted themselves to praying and praying together. And grace sets us free to do that. There's forgiveness in Christ for all of our failure to pray. For all of our misunderstandings and for all of our rote lists and ways that we've mistreated Him. Forgiveness, all of that sin was on the cross. Complete forgiveness for our failure. All of our sin on that cross. All of His righteousness credited to us. Power of the Spirit so that we don't have to walk in self-focus, legalism, condemnation, but in freedom and in grace and in love and in relationship through prayer that He works to bless us and set us free and accomplish His purpose on the earth. So let's be devoted to this vital element of our relationship with God. Remember, praying specifically, persistently, in community for gospel advance in light of the darkness in which we live and the war which we fight every day. Praying that everything would be according to His will, in His power, and for His glory. And keeping, remember we talked about how vital the lines of communication are, keeping these vital lines of communication open as we seek to stand firm in the faith in the midst of the spiritual warfare of this life. Pray in and by the Spirit. Pray like Jesus. Be praying in community like the early church. And wow, watch God work. Communication, loving relationship with your Heavenly Father through His Son, forgiven, clothed in righteousness. All power is provided, power of the Spirit, that we might walk in grace and in faith and glorify Him and make vital connection with Him through this gift of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, our prayers, like Your disciples and so many others have cried, help us to pray. Set us free from all the legalism and condemnation and fear and performance. Just root us in grace in this area so that we delight in You, therefore we delight in prayer and communication with You. Because of Your grace, we know that all of our sins and failures are forgiven, that our sin has been paid for, that Christ died for our sins and paid the penalty for our sins, that He was buried and raised from the grave the third day, so that trusting in Jesus, we're forgiven of all of our sin. We're clothed in His righteousness. We are Your children forever. Lord, set us free from anything that is not true prayer, and establish us in the joy of communion with our great God who has loved us so. Lord, bless and be with us even the rest of this day. May we delight in You. Lord, I pray for those who are maybe in here, I don't know, who don't know You, who are not trusting in Christ. I pray that they would see clearly that salvation is a free gift that You give through trusting in Your Son, and that they would turn from loving sin and anything else to trusting in Jesus and finding true life and true joy, forgiveness in Christ. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, was what the tax collector prayed. What must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can know that you are reconciled to God. And those of us who do know You, Lord, open, cleanse these lines of communication that You've given us through prayer. What a gift. What a grace. Help us to love You because You have loved us first, and You have saved us in Your Son. Lord, we give You praise and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.